I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles, please, this morning and turn to the Gospel according to Mark. Mark's Gospel, chapter 14. Mark, chapter 14, verses 1 to 9. And the companion passage, which we will relate to later on, is in Luke, chapter 7, 36 to 50. Mark 14, 1 to 9. I'll read verse 3 to verse 9. And while he was in Bethany, at the home of Simon the leper, and reclining at the table, there came a woman with an alabaster veil, a very costly perfume, of pure nard, and she broke the veil and poured it over his head. I said, veil is vile. For this perfume might have been sold for over 300 denarii and the money given to the poor, and they were scolding her. But Jesus said, let her alone. Why do you bother her? She has done a good thing to me. For the poor you always have with you, and whenever you wish you can do them good, but you do not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for burial. And truly I say to you, wherever the gospel is preached in the whole world, that also which this woman has done shall be spoken of in memory of her. Father in heaven, I pray that your word will come home to our hearts this morning. I pray that the messenger will not get in the way of the message, that the Holy Spirit himself will open our understanding that we might be able to understand from God what it is he's saying to us through his word. So I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation in our hearts will be acceptable to you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The poet begins one of the great line, how do I love thee? Let me count the ways. We have in the text this morning, not a poet, but a woman. A woman in whom God had done something wonderful. A woman who had been touched by the love of God, who understood something of what Jesus Christ was about to do. And she found herself in a party, a celebration. She found herself among some men. She found herself moved in the midst of everything by one person who was present at that party. And of course, we are referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. And she did an act, and it is that act I want us to look at this morning. The title of this message is, How Do I Love Thee? I'm smiling because one of the most difficult things for me to say is, I love you. It is difficult not because I don't feel it. It is difficult not because I don't believe it. It is difficult only because somehow we have been trained as men not to express our feelings, not to say things that will not make us look macho. And I suppose this is one of them. And it is to our shame that it has happened. We have left expression. We have left the kind of working out and fleshing out love to the women of the church, to the women of the world. And this perhaps is one of the reasons we have this tremendous conflict with which we deal with today when we think in terms of why we can get the ladies to be involved in things and not the men. We're working hard on it. At our last men's fellowship, we had 31 men out. The time before that, we had 51 men out. And I trust that the numbers will not decrease but increase as we begin to work our way through some of these wonderful, wonderful experiences that God intends you and me to have. This is why Promise Keepers is making such an impact upon the world, because it gives men an opportunity to express themselves in ways that they do not usually do. But the text before us this morning is about a woman. A woman who proved by her sacrificial love that Jesus was all the world to her in spite of the environment in which she found herself. For those of you who are visiting with us, we have an outline in the bulletin, and you may follow that outline to keep you abreast of what is happening. She walked into the room. And as she walked into the room, she took what is called a bottle that was made with the bottom, this kind of bulging out, and the top of the bottle came that narrowly. And she came out holding that bottle in her hand. And everyone knew that something was about to take place when they saw the expression of her face, when they saw something in her movements, the tender way in which she moved, that she was about to do something that was unique for the times in which she was living. And when she did that act, the disciples said, "What a waste." And this is where we pick up the story. Why did she express herself that way? What was it that was so moving within her that she thought that she was able to take what she had that was precious to her and do something with that precious thing, possession, and waste it, as it were, on the Lord Jesus Christ? May I suggest to you, looking at the text from the inside out, what we have here, my friends, if we are going to express ourselves to Jesus Christ, the only language that men and women, the only language that heaven understands when it comes to expressing our love to Jesus Christ is love that is sacrificial. Love that is sacrificial. Love that cost us, as it were, something. Something, as David mentioned himself, "I will not offer to God that which cost me nothing." Let me suggest to you that there were three things that this lady possessed that's vital to our expressing ourselves to God. First of all, there was affection. Affection for Jesus Christ. If you look over in Luke chapter 7, verse 47, Jesus said, "She loved much." She loved much. Now, if you love much, my friends, love can only be seen by the degree in which it is willing to sacrifice itself for its object. If I simply say to my wife every day, "I love you, honey, I love you," she will be pleased with those words. But may I suggest to you, what will affect her more is the actions that will back up those words saying, "I love you." Which means that if I love her, I might get myself in trouble right now. She isn't here, so if she hears this, I know you told her. If I say to my wife, "I love you," that love must be willing to wash the floor. And the amen usually come from this corner. It's coming from this corner this morning. It means, my friends, that those things which I usually think about as being feminine becomes a part of my experience because I will go beyond myself to do what is not mine by nature. I don't do things like that by nature. We tend to see those things as belonging to the woman of the house. But if I love my wife deeply, it will be seen by the sacrifice I'm willing to make on her behalf. Now, why is that? It's because, my friends, as this woman, I love much. The idea of having much love is to be overflowing, to be filled to the brim. You see, Jesus Christ had done something for this lady. Jesus Christ had delivered her from a life that actually maimed her own experience. She could not exist in her environment in the condition she existed in before Christ came to her. Everyone believes that this is Mary, the sister of Martha. It could be. But what Jesus Christ did for her was to remove from her the weight of sin she had experienced in her life. And she experienced that wonderful sacrificial love of God from heaven through His Son, that she developed an overflowing amount of affection. Her love had feelings in it. Her love went from the intellectual into the emotional. And she was willing to express the depth of her love for her Lord. The affection that she felt was that which moved her to action that she displayed. I'm thinking of the words of Dr. Howard Hendricks. Dr. Hendricks is a wonderful man, and one that I love to read whenever he's speaking. I go anywhere to listen to him. And he tells the story of two people living in the same home. And they weren't getting along together, says Dr. Hendricks. And they went to him for counseling. And Dr. Hendricks said, Tell me, my friend, do you love your wife? He said, do I love my wife? Of course I do. He said, when was the last time you told her? Tell her. I told her 30 years ago that I loved her. And when I revoke it, I will let her know. Dr. Hendricks said, I said, it might help a little if you let her know about it every day and show it. My friends, think of how long some of us have been Christians. And our affection for Jesus Christ is no more deeper today than it was 50 years ago, 30 years ago, 20 years ago, 10 years ago. We could hear that wonderful name. We could sing some of the hymns that remind us of what He has done for us. But there isn't any feeling, there isn't any emotion, there isn't any expression of that love. If you truly, if I truly experience, my friends, an affection for Jesus, if it is flowing over in my life, it will be expressed, and it will be expressed sacrificially. The proof of sacrificial love is affection. Affection for Jesus Christ. Affection for the object of our love. But secondly, the proof of sacrificial love is the actions toward Jesus. The action toward Jesus. And He was in Bethany at the home of Simon, the leper. He was reclining at the table. And this woman came in. She was already there. She came in with that bottle. That bottle that had something in it that was extremely precious to her. It took a year's wage for her to purchase what was in that bottle. It came all the way from India. It was made with a special kind of leaf that is found, oil that is found only in that part of the world. It was transported all the way from India to where she was in Bethany. And she went to one of the stores in that place. And she purchased that bottle with the container, with the content. And she put it in a special place and she said, one of these days, the most appropriate time to express myself, I am going to break that bottle and use the content on someone I really love. And there were all kinds of people in her world. But the one that made the impression upon her was Jesus Christ. Because that man did for Mary what no other man could ever do. That man showed Mary something in his walk and in his work that lifted her burden, the sense of guilt, the sense of loneliness, the sense of defeat, the sense of hopelessness. That man entered her life and liberated her. And the time came when she opened that bottle. Perhaps $400 to $500 worth of nard. Beautiful, fragrant perfume, as it were. And no one was worthy of that kind of anointing. Not Peter, not James, not Martha, none of the disciples sitting there was worthy of her opening her bottle and pouring that ointment on their head. Only Jesus Christ could fit the picture. Only Jesus Christ. I ask you, my friends, this morning, in the light of Mary, have you experienced in your life, have I experienced in my life, that part of my relationship with Christ, my service to Christ, where like David in 2 Samuel 24:24, I could say, I will not offer to God that which cost me nothing. If Jesus Christ be God and sacrificed himself for me, then no sacrifice is too great for me to make for him. If he is God and he sacrificed himself for me, how do I love him? Let me show you. I will make any sacrifice when it comes to Jesus Christ. I think, my friends, this past week, I got in a little book by Helen Rosevere, great missionary of the 60s and 70s, now living in Europe. Listen to what she says. I read this because I wonder how much I love Jesus Christ. I copy these out of her book. I want you to hear it. Listen to this. Momentarily, she said, I had felt the same night the rebel soldiers first took me captive, beaten, flung on the ground, kicked, teeth broken, mouth and nose gashed, ribs bruised, driven at gunpoint back to my home, jeered at, insulted, threatened. I knew that if the rebel lieutenant did not pull the trigger of his revolver and end the situation, worse pain and humiliation lay ahead. It was a very dark night. I felt utterly alone. For a brief moment, I felt God failed me. He could have stepped in and prevented this rising crescendo. Why didn't he speak? Why didn't he intervene? And in desperation, I almost cried out against him. It is too much to pay, says this single missionary. It is too much to pay. But his sacrifice had achieved something. He had saved lost mankind from their sins. What I was achieving by suffering brutally at the hands of rebel soldiers, if I had died, would seem probable and imminent. No one would even know of the suffering. What was being gained? God. Why? Why? In the darkness and loneliness, he met me. He was right there, a great, wonderful, almighty God. His love enveloped me. Suddenly, the why dropped away from me, and an unbelievable peace flowed in, even in the midst of wickedness. And he breathed a word into my troubled mind. Listen to the word. The word was privilege. Privilege. These are not suffering. They are not beating you. These are my sufferings. All I'm asking you is to loan me your body, says God. For 20 years, anything I needed, I had asked of God and He provided. Now this night, the Almighty had stooped to ask of me something He condescended to appear to need. He offered me the privilege of suffering for Him. Action. To what degree am I willing to bear any sufferings for Jesus Christ because I love Him so much? Helen Roosevelt told the story of what happened in China. A 12-year-old girl picked up by the rebel communist soldiers. She was coming from a home in which there was a kind of suspicion by the soldiers that there was an underground church there. So they took her and put her in prison, 12 years old. She was taken to court. And the soldier who took her to court had her stand up, looking into her eyes. He said to her, "Do you love Jesus?" She was about to say no, because she was afraid of what might happen to her if she said yes. She looked out into the group of people sitting, listening to this trial. And she looked and she saw a friend of hers, also 12 years old. And this 12-year-old looked at her and made the sign of the cross. And as she made the sign of the cross, this little girl developed the willing courage to look into the face of her captors and said, "Yes, I love Jesus Christ," at which point she was taken out and shot immediately. Why? Because, my friends, this world was not worthy of such love, but Jesus was. I don't know what sacrifice you will be asked to make. I don't know what sacrifice you will ask me to make. But, my friends, I want to know such deep affection for Jesus Christ that whatever He asked me to endure for Him, I want the courage to say, "Yes, I love Him enough. I will offer to God nothing that does not cost me something." Very quickly, the assessment that she made of Jesus. Verse 3 again. While he was in the home, this woman came. She had to overcome her gender. She was a woman. And in that culture, to be a woman was to be despised. Let me tell you, my friends, what is found in some of the Jewish literature. The prayer of Jewish men every morning: "Lord, I thank you that I'm not a dog, I'm not a Gentile, I'm not a woman." That was the prayer. And she was in the room filled with men. She had to assess her gender. What will I pay for doing this? She had to overcome the criticisms. Why this waste? She had to assess, she had to count the cost. That's why we read from Philippians chapter 3 this morning. "Whatever things were gained to me, those things I count but loss for the excellency of knowing Christ. That in that day I will be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, that I might accomplish in this world what God wants me to accomplish." Assessment. Nobody who will follow Jesus Christ, my friends, sacrificially, will be able to do so without assessing whether it is worth their while, worth their life, worth their money, worth their time. If Jesus Christ be God, yes, it is. And I don't have time to go into my second story that happened to Helen Roosevelt, when her mother, on the one hand, was getting elderly, when she needed help, and she was in Africa. And people would write letters to Helen Roosevelt saying, How can you be out there wasting your life when your mother needs you here? Thank God her mother was one of those mothers who said, regardless of what happens to me, I want you to stay in Africa as long as God wants you to. And only at that point did Helen Rosevere leave Africa to come home to her mother. But the criticism she took, the letters that were written, people, my friends, could be cruel. And I can't explain things that have happened to people where people will criticize them. My friend Ted Rendell that was here last week, his wife was sick for almost 23 years with multiple sclerosis, bedridden, in pain every day for 19 years. And people used to write Ted Rendell and say, the reason your wife is not getting healed is because you don't have enough faith. How cruel people can be. And this woman went in to express her love to Jesus Christ, and the disciples said, why this waste? She had assessed the possibility of criticism, and she went ahead anyway because love moved her. Let me quickly come to the end of the message. The permanence of sacrificial love, the permanence of it. One, notice that her actions were endorsed by Christ. Verse 6. But Jesus said, let her alone. She had done a good thing. In other words, Jesus was saying what she's done is an act of kindness motivated by her affection for me. She wasn't trying to make a show before them. She wasn't trying to gain some accolades from anyone. She was deeply in love with Jesus Christ. He said the cause of her action is her love for me. How do I love thee? Jesus was able to see that the motive behind her sacrifice was her love. Her love. Let me suggest to you, my friends, that when you and I love him and we do what he wants us to do, he will endorse what we're doing. Secondly, her action was explained by Jesus, verses 7 and 8. Explained by Jesus. It was done in the light of his coming death. This is beautiful. Because, my friends, what Mary's doing, Mary was living her life. She was going to have her life explained from that moment on in the death of Christ. What he did for me has such significance that my present moment has to do with what he has done for me. Let me read you another quickly. Where I have it here. I wanted to bring this to you. Okay, I'll forget it for now. It was explained by Christ. She has done this because of her relationship to the cross. The cross has meaning for my everyday life. In the light of the death of Christ, I can make any sacrifice because I understand what his sacrifice means to me and for me. And I wonder, my friends, if this is how we live our lives. Is my life interpreted in the death of Christ? If someone asks me, why are you doing what you're doing? Can I explain to that person that it has to do with Christ's death for me? Or am I trying to make a mark on history? It was enshrined by Jesus. It was enshrined by Jesus. And wherever this gospel is preached, what she has done, it will be used as a testimony. This, my friends, are you, am I, doing anything this present moment that will outlive me, outlive you? Am I involved in anything right now that when I die, that thing will continue because I did it out of affection. I did it out of devotion. I did it out of commitment to Jesus Christ. Listen to what the scripture says in Revelation 14. Blessed are those who die in the Lord, and their works do follow them. The word follow means to go in the same direction. Listen to Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10. God is not unfaithful to forget your labor of love. You and I are involved this very moment in doing things, my friends, that can outlast us. whatever sacrifice it might be, if it is done out of affection for Jesus Christ, our works will follow us. You and I are very familiar with Annie Johnson Flint, and I close with this. The most beautiful poems upon the face of this earth then and now have been written by Annie Johnson Flint. Her fingers were like this, what arthritis. The pains were so excruciating for Annie Johnson Flint. One day a visitor stepped from Miss Flint's sitting room into the sleeping room to secure a certain reprint of a poem for Miss Flint. A glance at the bed in that room was revealing. 9 soft pillows were carefully arranged on the bed for use in protecting the exquisitely sensitive, pain-smitten body from the normal contact of the bed clothing. It was for her to recline in hope of having a good night's sleep. Annie Johnson Flint, with arthritic fingers, so served Jesus Christ that her poems have outlived her and they're still being blessed by God for the lives of others today. Edna Pridham, a missionary in Africa with whom my secretary Joan Walsh worked, went to Africa and she sacrificed her life over there. On the campus of Emmanuel Bible College today is the Edna Pridham Library. Her work has outlasted her. And my friends, this morning I invite you to be engaged in something for the love of Jesus Christ that will outlast you, that will outlast me. Let us come to the place where we can say, if Jesus Christ be God and sacrificed himself for me, then no sacrifice is too great for me to make for him. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, oh God, it is so easy to say words as I have said them, and yet they have not been easy. And I pray that as the Holy Spirit speaks to us this morning, that if the Holy Spirit asks us of some alabaster box, some bottle with something precious to us, if the Holy Spirit asks us to pour it out on Jesus Christ, oh God, give us courage to be willing. Whatever it is, time, property, money, children, husband, wife, oh God, may we love so much that we're willing to make any sacrifice. May the Holy Spirit fill us with your love so that love will be expressed in that way today. In Jesus' name, amen.